What's that? He's a record.
I'm Daryl Madden.
And can y'all, don't be having these people moving around, because I'm about to share some stuff, right? And I don't need all that nerve of people moving and going somewhere and talking about what we're talking about in here. Right. No, we got to wait till they stop moving, because they make me nervous. Yeah. Thank you, Rick. I'm there, I'm Addy. And I got about 7,079 days clean. Now, I may not be accurate, but that's a little over 19 years. Yeah. So with that, of course, now, I don't know how I really felt about the topic because, you know, talking clean and living dirty. Like, I don't know if he chose me because he did it at the last minute, you know. So I don't know if he was seeing something and, he was trying to find something out or trying to be funny or what have you, you know. This ain't even somebody that I really talked to or interact with, and then he just called me out the blue and say, yeah, you gotta, then it was at 10:15. I'm like, people gonna be at the go-go or doing, you know, I thought he was trying to be funny, you know, but as God would have it, and see, obviously, now the only way you can find out about something that was clean is because you dealt with something that was dirty. Yeah, that's the only way you can recognize something that's clean, because you can identify with something that was dirty. You know, and like, they used to call me Dirty Daryl. Oh. And so, that little one pair of shoes I had in 11th grade, I tried to clean them the best that I could. You know, but it didn't stop them from calling me Dirty Daryl. I did my laundry pretty regular, but it didn't stop them from calling me Dirty Daryl. You know, and I was the oldest of my father, many children, you know, so that means everything that the little ones did, you know, it fell on me. Plus, they called me Dirty Daryl. But, you know, that day came when I found a way that they weren't going to call me Dirty Daryl no more, you know, and so, you know, got a job. You know, because I was a nerd thug, all right? Yeah, I was a nerd thug, right? And when I smoke, Rick, I turn into three cartoon characters, Shaggy, Scooby, and Bugs Bunny. All three of them. Because, you know, when I take a hit, when Bugs eat a carrot, yeah. And so, you know, Shaggy and Scooby, now, when the show first come on, right, they all be walking, and they be talking, right? And Shaggy, you know, they be just chilling. You know, ain't nothing wrong. They ain't afraid of nothing. They go get in the van. The rest of them still talking, right? They come out the van. Van be a little smoky, right? By the time they get back with the group, they say, we got a mystery to solve, right? Now, they scared of everything. Because if I take a hit, I'm scared of everything. In the bathroom for hours at a time. That little bit of stuff. And the DEA coming. Because I ain't no A-ball dude. I'm petty. I ain't no A-ball dude. Like, I don't need to buy that much because I'm going to go smoke a little bit anyway. Now, I end up running somebody to death. It adds up to an A-ball with just a dime at a time. So, because I don't want to think of a crackhead to bring me a whole A-ball at once, right? So I think I'm being smart and preserving my, you know, my getting high time and not having no A, because that's going to scare me, because if they catch me with that much, I'm really going to jail. And it's easy to hide a dime than it is to hide an A-ball in the bathroom. So, when I take a piece of that one hit of that dime in the bathroom, and they coming, I get in the shower with my clothes on. So you know, my dirty clothes hamper full of wet clothes. So that stink. That's dirty. Right? And so I had a job, right? And so I was working regular, and they was helping me out, and you know, they hooked me to the credit union, and I got this new car, but that damn car broke down so much the first 2 months that I had. It was brand new too. Got a 2.9% interest rate you know, to pay the loan back, right? But I swear to God, on payday, that new car did not work. Over and over and over again. So that was one place I was working clean, but, you know, living dirty at home because I was up all night. And I say, okay, I'm going to stop smoking about 10. I'm going to lay down for about... I'm going to stop smoking about 1. I'm going to lay down and get up early and take a shower. I'm going to stop smoking about 4. I'm going to take a shower, get dressed, and go to work. The car broke down again. So, while the car was broke down, I was still in the bathroom with wet clothes waiting for the DA to come. Right? Yeah. And so, when it get quiet, and I don't think they coming, right? Because I hear my little bit of stuff over there. So, the shower's still on, right? And I got really listening to see if they're coming. So, I got 1 foot in the shower. I got to reach my stuff, right? And so, and they're not coming. And so, I can hit real quick one more time, and they come again. Over and over and over. Yeah. That is retarded, man. That's not very smart. Yeah, and so that's what helped me make the second step. It's very easy for me to understand. Like, you need to restore that right there, man. That needs to be fixed. Something need to be done about that, right? Now, that's the fun part about talking clean and living dirty, because now we're talking about when there ain't no smoking going on. Yeah. Close the door and don't let nobody come in or come out right now. Hey, now we're talking about I ain't got nothing to smoke, so now I ain't got no excuse. Right? Because when you're not smoking, now there's a reasonable amount of accountability to go with every single thing that you do in your life. Because that means now you know, you got a better job. Now you done restore some relationships with some people. Now your kids are loving you and trusting you again. Now you done messed around and lied to somebody and said, I'm going to be your husband. I'm talking about me, all that oopsie, so they talking about them, but I'm talking about me, right? Right, because the idea of marriage was way better than the truth about the person that I married. So the evidence was proven in my behavior along the way, because all the stuff that I should have knew before I got married, I tried to find out along the way. You know, and so all of the shortcomings, thank God for the program and the steps, right? Because I had no idea what the stuff that I found out in the fourth step meant until I did the sixth step. It helped me understand what the feelings and emotions and all that stuff that drove me to the behavior. You know, so the defects, of course, with defects come shortcomings. Of course. Yes. There's no way you can have defects and not have shortcomings. No, they have to go somewhere. They have to. That's probably why they say the 11th step for after, you know, you had to search your feelings more inventory, and you had to become willing, and you had to accept being crazy, and, you know, then you had to be honest with God and somebody else and me. Yeah, they say the 11th step for the end, when you're getting ready to get prepared to help somebody else. Because, see, that's why I sponsor people, because I don't want them to say, you know, I don't want them to give me all their credit for their success, because then I ain't going to want to take the credit for their failure if they decide to go back out. So don't praise me like that, but I have to learn enough about this program so whoever I'm guiding in this process can help somebody else. So they can be prepared, because, you know, there are some fallen angels in my recovery process who are no longer here, right? And they passed the torch very well. I promise you that. They passed the torch very well. And with those 19 years and some much right now has been, you know, a lot of talking clean and living dirty. You know, some of it was just by default. Some of it was just out of hurt and confusion. Some of it was out of conviction. Some of it was out of manipulation. You know what I mean? I mean, for whatever the reason, you know, just don't forget about the God that you beg mercifully to get back to, you know, a place where you can feel like you got a little bit of good sense. Where you can make some kind of positive decision at any moment. See, let me tell y'all something. Because I asked my friend to go out in that hallway and pray with me, right? I asked him to pray with me so I wouldn't come up here, you know, and sound profound. Yeah, because I don't want to be profound, man. I just want to share my experience with the whole. You know what I mean? Because that boy must have knew something. Like, because it bothered me. He asked me to share on this topic. And, yeah. Because he knew I had experience. He must have been watching my process. He must have been watching my process. You know, and so now it's no need to be ashamed of where I came from because I'm proud of where I am. And the only way you can be proud of where you are is to remember and not be ashamed of where you came from. Because we came from somewhere. Somewhere. I mean, just listening all these years to people sharing their experience, strength, and hope and doing the stuff that they did. You know what I mean? Some people really got courage to tell us where they really came from. You know what I mean? Not that, my story don't start in treatment. People who smoke crack and shoot dope, your story didn't start in treatment. You just looked up one day and you was sitting on Alabama Avenue and you tried something. Nah, it ain't start there. That's why they introduced God early in the process, because he already knew you was going to need some comfort. Once you started exposing yourself and disclosing the exact nature with somebody else. That's why the fellowship of... We're not reading that, because I took it out for a reason. The language in our readers, man. We feel that our approach to the disease of addiction is completely real. Come on, man. It's 11 o'clock. Many of us are hundreds of miles away from where we live at 11 o'clock. Some of y'all know me and some of y'all don't. Well, you know me now. I'm Daryl J. from D.C., by the way. Yeah. Yeah. And I smoke. I turn into Shaggy Scooby. Did I say that already? Okay. You know that. Okay.
And Buzz Money.
Yeah. And all right. So let me take this off right quick. I'm gonna show y'all how sick this shit was, right? It was sick, man. So, I got this top secret way to not let people know that I was smoking, right? So I used to like to drink Remy, right? Yeah. So somebody always wanted to come to my house while I'm in the bathroom gigging, right? And so I'm dumb enough to answer the door. You know what I mean? While I'm dumb enough to answer the door, but I got a cup of Remy, right? Because all my friends, you know, when I'm out with them, they think I like to just drink, right? They don't know that I was just drinking to get to the bathroom, right? And so they happen to stop by, and I don't know why I gotta let them in, because I don't even like being bothered, right? But I do it anyway. And come to the door with the good composure going through the door, you know, and I open the door and I got the Remy in my hand, like I've been drinking, you know, and I was eating carbs, right? So of course, when you eat carbs, all the stuff I'm drinking on my shirt. So I don't know, nobody ever had courage to say what that looked like, right? They just was going on with it. The one thing I like about y'all is that some of y'all don't let us die. They would let me die, right? Because they probably wanted to get in the bathroom too, or, you know, they probably wanted to keep me in the bathroom, you know, because they needed somewhere to cut up or bring their girls or do something. Because once you give me a hit, I don't want nothing but a hit. I don't want no sex. I don't want no food. I don't want no conversation. I don't want no bath. Because that shower thing is by default. I couldn't help but get in the shower. I didn't mean to. It was the drug that made me do it. And I don't even know how, when I was able to smoke a little bit and get a little bit of sleep and take a shower in the morning, I don't even know why I wanted to take a shower in the morning, because I was in the shower all night. So I don't even know how in the world I wanted to get in the shower in the morning. I know I took apart about 3, because I get off work. Probably start about 6, get home about 6 o'clock. And yeah, that's a lot of showers in one night, man. For the therapeutic value of one addict helping another without parallel. All right? So it's 11:10 on Friday night. We thank God for his traveling mercies. They allowed everybody to get here, right? And this is the therapeutic value right here. This is a therapeutic value. This is how addicts help each other right here. This is an example of the therapeutic value right here. Not necessarily to come and listen to me, because some people know who Daryl J. was. And some people just didn't want to get in that long ass line for the comedy show and say, let me go to a meeting before I go in. You know what I mean? And the therapeutic value sometimes ain't got nothing to do with the person sitting beside you as much as it got to do with you sitting beside the person that's sitting beside you. And if I accidentally leave something popped in my story, y'all, don't worry, because somebody here know or think they know about my story. They're going to tell it anyway, right? So I'm going to try to tell myself as much as I can, but somebody else going to probably try to tell the story too. Like, I might be even telling the story, and somebody might be sitting beside somebody telling their part of the story. Yeah. So let me tell you how far now. Let me tell you how far the living dirty while talking clean took me, right? So on February 28th, 2011, I got sentenced to go to jail for sex abuse. It started out as rape. It ended up as sex abuse. Now, although it was all a lie, you know, nonetheless, I was there, you know, and I was not mad enough when I knew. Because I said I was a nerd thug, right? So that means I was a nerd first. I was smart first. When I knew that my expiration date existed in my marriage, regardless of the fact that, you know, we had a child together and we was raising children together, you guys kind of taught me along the way how to take care of myself. You know, but if I take moments to go back and forth and be looking at my cell phone while the dude up front talking and the lady at the beginning of the meeting said, please turn your cell phone down so that it don't interrupt the meeting, right? But yeah, so now that part of talking clean and living dirty, man, sent me to jail because the girl said that she can make me feel a lot better than what I was going through at home, right? And the only thing she knew about what was going on in my house is what I told her. You know, so I'm thinking that I am the one with the biggest motive, you know, in inviting somebody else into, you know, it wasn't even my bullshit, it was my reality. Somebody who was not equipped to deal with my reality because they had their own agenda anyway. So all they wanted me to do was think that they was listening to me and want this great thing for me because she told me I need you. This was a 2-week relationship, you know. A couple conversations on the phone, another conversation at IHOP. And the third time we talked, she called and said, while I was at the N.A. dance, I need you to come so I can suck your dick till you come. Down for the dance. Come. My wife ain't never said that. But I denied the fact that I knew she was an alcoholic. I knew she was an alcoholic. So when I'm sharing clean and living dirty, I'm thinking alcoholically. I'm thinking, you know, the disease has taken over for me to compromise my integrity of my recovery and take advantage of another person. That's suffering. While I'm suffering. But even in my suffering without drinking or using drugs, I am still intuitively equipped to make a better decision than that. You know, but I had gone so long without sharing the exact nature with, you know, people who love me, because it might be 200 who like me, but I know the 5 that love me, and because I took too long to let them know what I was dealing with, I made a 2 a.m. decision that sent me to jail. The best goddamn thing that ever happened to me at 14 years and 11 months clean. Because everything was good. I had a DC public school job. I was on my way again, so I thought. See, I asked him in about those first series of steps that I've done. I did about 4 complete series of steps, right? But I only asked him to remove about 16 things. It's that one thing I kept leaving out. And finally, it dealt with me. God finally said, there has been plenty of examples and plenty of opportunities. See, because I begged mercifully for the obsession and the compulsion to be lifted. I begged. I didn't call my sponsor. I didn't say, heavenly sponsor, please shine your love down upon me. You know what I mean? I ain't even call the girl who said she can give me head till I'm dead. You know, I ain't even call her. I called on God, man. I called on him and say, please get me from, because I ain't eat out trash cans. I ain't sleep in abandoned cars. You know, I smoked in the bathroom with wet clothes on. You know, that was about as bad as it got, but it was just stupid. My addiction was just stupid. It didn't make no kind of sense. Like, I didn't have no gateway to ending up to be an addict other than to end up in 2016 at CPINA 30 at 10:15 p.m. sharing the stage with my good friend Rick W. from D.C. to to share my experience, strength, and hope on how to talk clean and live dirty. That's why. Yeah, so I humbly accept that, man. And so I went to jail for 78 days. Best 78 days of my life, man, because that was where I had my spiritual awakening. And man, it got even worse while I was in court, right? Because you know on the way to court, when my wife looking at me all funny, going to court with me, right? I'm praying in my mind. She don't know the prayer. She don't know the prayer that I'm praying. Oh, God, touch the lawyer, touch the judge. Hey, because you know, we get real specific when our sex, our security, and society get compromised. Oh yeah, we get real specific then. Yeah, we have a real perfect conversation, you know, at that point, you know, and so that's what happened, right? And so it looked like it was working for a while until I just noticed my wife did something like this sitting beside me in the courtroom, right? Man, don't you know, it was another dude sending her a text message on Facebook while we're in court. I'm on trial for rape, the term of sex abuse. He said, I'm going to kill your husband if he don't stop fucking my wife. Ooh. While I'm already in court on trial with the lawyer that she got for me. That's probably why I went to jail. That's probably why. You know, because she all talking about, you know, we got these good lawyers through my job, and he African-American. Fuck, man. Thank God, because everything I asked God for, he did. He touched my lawyer. He touched the judge. He touched the girl. He touched everybody. You know, and you know, the one wonderful thing that came out of that in that 75 days, my first letter and my first package that came from that ex-wife of mine was this study Bible. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I thought I knew a little bit about a lot of stuff, right? That thing taught me a little bit more about a lot of stuff that I thought I already knew. So it was so simple, man. That's why they say we got a basic text for you super intelligent NASA addicts. You know what I mean? Yeah. They give us a basic text. Basic tech, you know, and even the smartest of us still need help from somebody else to understand the basic tech. Because you know, when you open it up and see the symbol, like, that shit looks scientific for real. Like, nigga be thinking like, this calculus in it, you know, or geometry, because it got figures and it got lines in it, you know, and so a circumference, like, and a pyramid, you know, and then to talk about the point of freedom and the broad base, like, we just need to hear something like, don't smoke. You know what I mean? Like that. We gotta make it that simple for some people. Like, just don't smoke, right? So that's why they gave us the basic text, man. You know, just in case you try to ease your way out, because you have somebody the flat book, green and gold, and work hard, why? And read this for 30 days, right? But you know he's gonna cheat and look in the workbook. You ain't even tell him to look in the workbook. He's gonna cheat after reading the green and gold, and then he's going to cheat in there and try to do his own process, right? Yeah. So they said basic tax, you know. That's why they said get it with somebody who knows about this process. How much time I got? No. I'm done? Oh, I think, 2 minutes. Oh, I thought I was 2 minutes over. I was about to say, no. So that's why, you know, they say basic. So they can, like, basically introduce you to and start your process of getting to know the new you. Because it's obvious all your shit didn't work. All your genius, all your degrees, and, you know, all who your cousin was, and who you hung with Rafael and them. Y'all know Rafael Evans, right? Yeah, you hung with Rafael and them back in the 80s, and, you know, you did all, I was down Lawton, and, yeah, nigga, Heron is undefeated. What's your ass? Crack, undefeated. Or whatever your drug of choice may have been. You know, it may have been something real simple and uncomplicated and, you know, something you might still be lying about. You know, but it whips your ass because you're here listening to me, hanging out with us, looking at, witnessing the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Would y'all please stop moving? Sorry. So I was talking about basic, right? So my wife, the first package I got while I was in jail was that study Bible, man. And it had instructions on what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to do certain assignments every single day. Now, I got sentenced to 180 days, right? And I had an assignment in that book that was going to last me all 6 of those months.
Oh, wow.
When they woke me up in the middle of the night, I see. While I was in jail, right? I got to let y'all know this, right? Because I ain't no jail dude, right? Some dude, some Lord and superstar came in, you know what I mean? And everybody must have knew him who did time, right? So they give me all that, right? So he made me nervous and shit. Because they told me his story. I ain't know his story, right? So I was on detail. I don't know why he knew and he got to sit out there while we cleaning up. Everybody else had to get locked in, and it seemed like he was always following me with his eyes. And I didn't know what he wanted. Somebody told me what people want in jail, right? So when he showed up, I started believing it. You know? So I started walking around like this. And then I started letting him watch me work out with the other guys on, you know. Yeah. So he made me so nervous. I'm going to go back to the Bible. Yeah. Huh? All right? She saved my time up. So what I found out, I thought he wanted something else. And somebody told him that I could write him a letter to his woman who he'd been locked up a long time. Said that. The professor can write a letter to your girl and get you back home with your family, man. Because that's how they was using me in jail. Wow. But thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.